Yeah, I think this was one of the more interesting episodes so far this season. Y'all ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This is the Meanwhile Podcast. This is Kelvette, and I am here today with Aaronette.
What?
And Tiffany.
Hey, y'all.
Okay. And today we are going to talk about Insecure Season 4, Episode... what episode is this? Episode 4.
Three.
Episode 3. low-key thankful. All right, let's get it popping. This episode starts off with Lawrence in the mirror. Mm-hmm. That's right. So we are getting the opportunity to see Lawrence, and that kind of lets you know this is going to be a Lawrence episode. Not necessarily like he's the lead in the show, but sometimes they kind of highlight somebody in the episode, kind of like a feature moment.
Yes, it was also 2 months before the block party.
Okay. Yes,
so,
right.
A little time tracking time.
Yes, they're giving us 2 months before the block party. And and I see that Lawrence and Condola are having sleepovers.
Right. I mean, her alarm, I like the way that it opened. Us seeing him in the mirror, that was very much like a Issa type feel, like what happened, like be in the mirror talking. So him talking like he's looking for a job, that was kind of like a hint, nudge, nudge, something's coming.
Yeah.
But that was cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I love it. So you see Lawrence, and we're kind of getting some insight, because at this point he is about to go talk to the bosses about getting a promotion, getting an upgrade. He want to make a little more coin. He's been at his job about a year, and he goes in to talk to them at work, and they are in a meeting. And at this point, you get the feeling that something's about to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you see him in Chad's Land Rover, and they're talking about the fact that Chad, Chad said he's struggling at work, and Lawrence
he
is like,
ain't sold a house,
and you know, but he decided to buy a Land Rover. Everybody like, that don't make no sense.
None whatsoever. But like he said, keep trying to keep up appearance, and that's kind of how, I'm sorry to say, that's kind of how we roll, like white, black, whatever the case may be. You do live outside of your budget, so
people do tend to try to live outside of their means, and that's interesting that you said that. Yeah, because I see it. I mean, that comes back in this episode too.
Yeah, and then also I love the jokes that were told in that little piece with Chad, him talking about, speaking of range, I recently watched Silver Linings Playbook, and he tied it to Bradley Cooper, and then he was like, I don't want to be like Bradley Cooper because he fell off, kind of thing. It was the joke that ended up coming out of it.
And that's my question to you guys. Did Bradley Cooper fall off?
I mean,
where is Bradley Cooper?
Where was he at to begin with?
Where is he at?
I'm just saying, not like.
I mean, he's doing well. I mean, he did that movie with Gaga like a grip ago, it feels like.
That movie was in black and white, and nobody watches movies that are in black and white.
That movie wasn't in black and white.
It looked like it was going to be in black and white, and I didn't like it.
That's dumb. That's really dumb.
And they were singing, like,
I know about that was that it was based on a true story. I've never seen it. Yeah.
Well, whatever story it was based on, that story must have been boring.
It was a sad story. I just read the whole plot on Wikipedia.
Bradley Cooper fell off. He fell off. I mean, ain't nobody seen him.
But, he didn't. He didn't, though. It's like, even though this movie wasn't super huge, he was in The Mule, Clint Eastwood's The Mule, about the old white man that was driving the drugs across the border.
What in that movie?
Yes, he was a detective.
I've seen him in that movie.
He was a DEA agent.
Oh, he was.
He was.
He was.
He was. But you want to know what? Bradley Cooper probably was supposed to be in, catch this, Ozarks. That's what he probably should have been in, but he fell off. Bradley Cooper fell off. So the answer to the question, did Bradley Cooper fall off, is yes.
No, like
in chat. I don't know where he was.
I think it's about appearances as well, because ooh, the flip side, it's about appearances. Bradley Cooper didn't fall off. He actually produced on the movie The Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix. He's actually he plays the voice of Rocket on Avengers Endgame. So it's about appearances.
Spoiler alert, nobody knew that.
Everybody knew that.
I didn't know it was him, and I didn't see all of it. So
he was on the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like he's been in a lot of stuff, but appearance.
So he the raccoon voice?
I think he's that little raccoon. Yeah.
Okay. I'm about to
go. Yeah.
That character should have been played by a black person.
What in the world?
I'm so done with you.
No, appearances would appear that Bradley Cooper fell off, but Bradley Cooper was actually doing very well. So
maybe whatever.
Oops. I don't know. That's the question of the day. I wrote that in my notes. Did Bradley Cooper fall off?
No.
But at this point, Lawrence is talking about how in his life, there's always one piece missing. Mm. And he says, you know, last year it was my relationship and I start getting this great job. And this year my job, you know, is having some issues, but I got this relationship, you know. So you get an opportunity to see Lawrence kind of talk about the fact that he feels like something is still missing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's a little foreshadowing. I think it's a little foreshadowing. Yeah,
it's a good comment though. I feel like he's just been having a moment where it is, if it's one thing, it's the other, you know. If it's not one thing, it's the other, you know.
I mean, sometimes I feel like that, you know. Sometimes my job be going good and, you know, my relationships be struggling, and then my job be going good and my relationships be struggling, and then my job be going good and my relationships be struggling. So that's just kind of.
You never commented that your relationships were good and your job was struggling, though.
Huh? That didn't happen yet.
I'm so... I can't.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, then you see Issa in the coffee shop, and she's watching, you know, where is LaToya or where is somebody?
This is Finding Jaquan.
I know. That's why I'm so confused.
Hold up, Jaquan, like the singer Jaquan? Everybody in the club get tipsy Jaquan?
I think so. And they said they found him. They said, spoiler, they found
him. When was he missing?
That's what they said. That's why it was such an issue. They was like, where was Jaquan? Yes, but they found him. They found it. Spoiler alert, they found him. And
that's what they told him. I do remember that part. He did say they found him. Yeah, I do remember that.
And then they start having this inside joke about movies, and they going back and forth about movies. And I think right there, I don't know. Did anybody else feel it? Was there chemistry there? I just felt like it was two people just chopping it up. Or what do you think?
I think they were trying to build towards them having some sort of relationship in the moment, or just seeing that they can still get along. You know, for a lot of people, that's very threatening. You're like, whoa, it's like y'all ain't been together in a minute and y'all can still chop it up like this. It's like, oh, I didn't know that y'all talked like that. And the fact is that they don't. So when they do get together, they can still chop it up. That could be mad intimidating.
Mm-hmm. And then Condola walks up and she's like, oh my gosh, you died. I was like, girl, you know.
Oh, girl.
So I think Condola walks in and sees them having an inside joke, and you can tell right there she's definitely
uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Oh.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm still for their relationship because Issa left. She got her food to go. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was something. I was like, Issa, you didn't have to go. But it was awkward, and she was, aka being awkward black girl kind of thing. And she's like, I'll go. Like, yeah, I got it to go. And then they're like, for here. And then she got her stuff and then left. I was like, dang, that was a good reminder.
That she's still the awkward black girl.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah. So Molly and Issa are in the supermarket. And Ooh. Molly is in a pink sweatsuit with silver heels. And I'm wondering, am I supposed to wear my sweatsuit with heels? Or can I just wear my sweatsuit? Because
no, just wear your sweatsuit.
Thank you.
Mess around and twist your ankle.
You know me. So yeah, I'm just going to wear my sweatsuit. And Issa's living for biker shorts this season. She's like, she want to wear every color of biker shorts there is. I ain't never seen her near a bike.
But why them avocados $3.99 each?
Yeah, Tiff, tell us why the avocados $3.99 each.
They were at Bristol Farms. That's the first problem. Bristol Farms is like, you know, there's Whole Foods. It's like Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Bristol Farms.
Wait, something's like, above Whole Foods? I thought Whole Foods was the most expensive you could get.
Nah, Bristol Farms is a whole nother animal, man. It's like you go in there after you get your stimulus and you think that you can like buy groceries, like a regular bag that'll be like $40, spend like $120 on some just random hearts of palm from Africa. You'd be like, what in the world do you even need that for? Yeah. It's expensive.
I have an issue with that because at the Save-A-Lot on Neff Road, you can get avocado for 99 cents each, y'all. So that's a commercial. That's a free commercial for avocado at the Save-A-Lot on Neff Road.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and this portion of your call is sponsored by
Save-A-Lot. Save-A-Lot. We save you more. A lot.
Listen, hey, they need to come up and give us that money for that spot, though.
Let out.
Yeah.
But I think that this episode also foreshadowed a lot of, not foreshadowed, but it showed a lot of Thanksgivings. And it showed, you know, while they were in there, we saw Kelly drunk and alone. And it's like, then we keep seeing little bits and pieces of people being, showing a face. And their appearances aren't necessarily what they appear to be. I don't know. Wasn't Kelly like on something live, Instagram live or?
Yeah, she was just saying how she was waiting for her aunts to get there for the Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it was how everyone was just, they're doing their own little Thanksgiving, but they are like just keeping in touch or they just looking, you know, looking to see what everybody else is doing.
And at this point is when the Instagram Live started, Tiff. Yeah, so at this point, I decided that I think I might start Instagram Live in y'all, you know, for my six followers. I'm about to start going live because it looked so fun. So like, I think I might be going live. So keep your eye out for Meanwhile Kels. That's my IG handle. I'm going to be going live, you know, letting everybody see how I live because it looked fun. Both of y'all don't Instagram Live enough. Aaronette, you definitely don't.
I know I don't.
Tiff always be putting up something weird. Everybody be like, weird, 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 weird.
What?
Be like, Tiff is woke AF. Don't sleep on it. Woke AF. Tiff be like, by the way, when you use a brown paper bag, make sure you're respecting the ancestors. Woke AF. I was like, okay, I don't even know what that means, Tiff, but I guess IG Live.
That's what's up.
Don't nobody be acting like that.
Too much.
That's dumb.
It's not dumb. Tiff be like, I cannot use white notebook paper because it has the brown lines. It's offensive. I'm not doing it. Tiff, nobody got time for that, okay? Nobody's looking at your IG Live no more. It's too much. It's your girl TB. It's your girl TB. Stay off of her page. You will wake up. You will wake up woke AF if you go on her page.
Mad too. Mad.
If you go on Tiff's page, you get one shade blacker.
That's dumb. That's really dumb.
Well, you be saying woke. So, well, this conversation in the supermarket, Molly I forgot we were about Insecure. Molly asked Issa, should I invite Andrew? And Issa says, no, girl, you all only been dating like two or three months. It's a lot, you know. And
you're going to scare him away.
You're going to scare him away. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Yeah. I mean,
it's not.
And I mean, I know what Issa was doing was trying to protect her friend. You know, girl, I don't want you to get your feelings hurt. You always get your feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not accounting for the fact that Molly has grown up. You know,
go ahead.
No, go.
Because I was going to say, they also have not really been communicating for Molly. They haven't really been communicating with each other to know what's like really going on. Like Molly didn't share that her and Andrew are pretty much back on good terms. You know, she said that they exclusive, but I don't know if she's like told them that they're really on good terms. So it's like, I don't know if they're sharing that information with each other, you know?
Oh, absolutely. They're clearly not. It's like,
for her to say something like that.
And it was like, it was very painful because I was like, dang, I feel like I've been in those moments before where you haven't really talked to people in a while and you're just on kind of like a different wavelength. Mm-hmm. And it didn't heat up like that at all. But it's just, you can, when you feel that you're on just like two different wavelengths, and it's like where you once were on like the same one, we cruising, we vibing, bloop, bloop, bloop. Then you kind of get off hinged and you're like, dang, that was weird.
That's friendships. Mm-hmm. That's relationships, you know. And truly. I think that's why, you know, you have to constantly check in on your relationships. You have to constantly nurture your relationships. And I think they do a good job of that. But I think that they're letting things get out of hand. They're letting the conversation get away from them. Because there's been multiple opportunities for them to
have kind a of, call and they don't have it.
They could have talked right there. They could have said, girl, let's stop right here next to these $8 salad dressings and let's talk. Right here and say, okay, you hurt my feelings the other day when you said that I be banging dudes for weed and toiletries. You know, like that hurt my feelings. That was too far. That was unnecessary. And I think they started the conversation, but they both shied away from finishing it. And yeah. I think that's going to make them pay a cost, because the longer you put off stuff like that, the worse it gets.
Cause then you never want to have that conversation. And then it turns to, oh, I don't fuck with her no more. Cause that's then y'all just start to, y'all just gradually separate. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't check in on each other anymore. So hell, I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rough. I hated that feelings, man. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, been there. Definitely been there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this is where we kind of get into the thick of things. Lauren shows up at Condola's house and he brought some food and
He brought wine.
Sorry. And at this point, he makes a joke and he's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go. And she's like, no. And you immediately are like, why did they write this character with no sense of humor? But that's the whole point. They wanted you to see that she does not have a sense of humor. And it hurts.
You said it hurt?
Yeah, it hurt. Because like, you wanted Lawrence and Condola to work out. Because Condola's cool. But just because you're a cool chick doesn't mean you have a good sense of humor.
That's a fact.
I know a lot of cool chicks that just don't have no good jokes.
Or they don't know how to take them.
They don't know how to take them. Are you eating that with a straw? Okay.
I can't.
Go to the kitchen and get a spoon. Why she eating Jell-O with a straw? I'm not
Jell-O. It's icy.
I'm not gonna do it. She's eating. Nuh-uh. No, that's Jell-O. She eating Jell-O with a straw. Jell-O. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
She was squeezing it. She was squeezing it.
She was squeezing it first.
She's pregnant, though. I'm going to leave her alone.
Me too. I ain't going to say nothing else.
That's the time to get hand.
I ain't going to say nothing else. But I definitely... Okay, so out of the parties... Okay, well, let's keep going, and then I'll ask that question again. But...
Oh, hold up, though. But Lawrence came in there trying to fix her stuff, though.
Yes.
I was like, you just came in here.
I thought this Negro had some handyman capabilities. And then he turns on freaking YouTube?
Fixing sinks for players. Well, we're going to learn how to lay some pipe.
What is this? No. You should have told her, I ain't got you.
No. We ain't got y'all.
Right, exactly. I ain't got y'all. No.
With the white hand turned upside down and ain't nobody on it.
Like, upside down. Like, hey, we ain't got y'all. Nope.
Yeah. This man was going to come in here and be like, oh, I got this. I was like, hold on. What?
Mm-hmm.
No. That was very
weird.
It was an overstep.
That's the word.
Because he could have been like, oh, that's
a
bummer.
Too much.
Get your sink fixed tomorrow. Yeah, and he was in his, you know, he was in his silk shirt. How you going to fix the sink in your silk shirt?
Right, his Versace from 99.
Yeah, his Versace 99. I just don't understand. So, Tiff, I got a question for you.
Mm.
Where could Condola live to have that big of a house? Go.
Oh, shit. I feel like they all.
And what does she do?
I feel like she's some sort of event planner, and she seems like a fixer, someone who knows. Well, later on, we'll figure out that she knows a lot about a lot of things, and that she can hop in and help people organize thoughts and do a lot of like branding things and help people. I feel like she's a consultant, and that type of house for one person. I mean, we also don't know what happened with her divorce and who got what.
That's
in the
true.
Split. But I still think that she's got a lot of her own money.
Oh, so that might be a split house. That might be something that she got out of the divorce.
Yeah, but I still think that she got her own money. Don't get me wrong. She's very smart.
Do you think that her dude is Mark Zuckerberg?
Oh.
Say what?
What's wrong with you?
She got divorced from a dude named Mark. Who could that be? Mark, who? Okay, that's a good. Okay, that's a clue. Okay, what's
nah,
the clue?
You know she's smart. She's got her stuff together. Mm-hmm. I could see her being a consultant, making a buku money out here, well into the six figures. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and she could definitely have her own spot like that easily. She's very clean cut. She's very fashion forward. And okay. Hers, I don't think is just appearances either. You know.
Okay, so. The house was ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, the kitchen was bopping.
Yeah,
I was like, and bopping.
So next we head over to Molly's house and her parents, and they're getting ready and making the pies, and you see her brother and his pregnant girlfriend who is having a baby by another man.
Did anybody else catch?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what is this little guy from? Is this the same guy that's from Soul Food?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all watch All Deaf. Like, it's ADD. Her older brother he's on All Deaf Digital. I can't think of his name right now, but I know I watched that with like Kev on stage and Tahir. Like Tahir he was in the last episode, the final episode of last season when they were at the show now. So Tahir Moore. So it's like I see how she takes some of these characters from like these online platforms and place them in her. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
So I like that.
We also skipped that part where Tiffany and Derek, they're all looking down at their phones throughout these like scenes that they're going through.
Yes.
And we saw Tiffany and Derek showing face kind of like they like to. I think they show face a lot. I don't think their marriage is actually what it is.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Well, if that's the case, you're going, that's the plot twist.
Right. That is going to be a plot twist.
Okay. Well, put that in the plot twist, you know, in the plot twist bag. So we'll see if that come back. Because I think they are happy.
Yeah. Especially after what everything, after she said what she said. Was it last season? Where she had to put him on the couch or he was living in a hotel or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we'll find out more about that. So
my bad.
No. That's some good. Maybe that might be something. Because they keep showing it. They keep showing them being so happy.
Right.
And maybe that's true. We're going to find out. Mm-hmm. So next we finally, after 4 seasons, get to meet Issa's mom. Mm. And I was like, who did you picture as Issa's mom? I pictured Aunt Vivian, the first Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince.
Janet Hubert, I think her name is.
That's who I pictured.
Dark skin Aunt Viv. Yeah, I didn't see Wendy Wacrell, Robinson. Piggy, I didn't see her being Issa's mom. It's an interesting casting choice, but I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I think it's casting choice because we as the viewer know her from so much other stuff.
Yeah. But
also, we have such a strong, positive memory of her. Like, but we know what kind of character she typically plays. She plays a little bit of a messy mom. You know, mm-hmm. She plays kind of a, you know,
strong woman, mm-hmm. independent woman.
And I think that's what they're trying to show you.
It was interesting seeing her in the mother role, you know, after all these years.
She was the mom on The Game.
Was she, though? I mean, she was more like the friend that was... She wasn't like a mom. She was a
she was a cool mom.
She was a
she
cool
was
mom.
His manager, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a lot of business.
So she looked out for the best interest and she ain't played with nobody.
Yep.
That's what I saw from The Game. That's what I took from it. But I also didn't watch all the seasons.
The Game is our next deep dive. I'm just kidding.
I'm in.
Then we go back
to where Sammy was. When we met Issa's family, we met Stanley, her stepdad.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. It was like, oh, because when they stopped running, it was like, oh, Stanley's somebody that they don't really care about. Because if it was their father, they would have kept running.
I felt that.
They did stop running. They're like, oh, let him be. But like, yeah.
It was just Stanley. Oh, okay. Good.
And they wanted nothing to do with that Thanksgiving. Like, they didn't want to go in there. They didn't pop their head in and say, hey, y'all. They didn't do any. They did not want to be there.
As soon as they got in the ambulance, they rolled out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't mess with adult twins. And I was like, you know what? I was like, she got a point. I was like, that's weird. I already think me and Tiff look too much alike. I don't like being around her half the time. You shut up. So then we go to Condola's house again, and her friend's a little tipsy. She was wasted. She, you know, she kind of starts being a little bit loose-lipped and saying that, talking about Mark, about Condola's ex, and she's talking about how he left her, and you know, she's just spilling all the beans. And then at the very end, she lets her know that Condola is, you know, just looking for a good time. You know, she's happy that her friend found somebody that she got a good time with.
Yeah, And it's like, but the first meeting that we met, like Condola's friends, it was the lesbian couple and the African guy with the ethnically ambiguous woman. And they were standing around talking about what they do, who they are kind of thing. And then that's when that girl, one of the ladies in the couple called out Lawrence's firm, Meridian, for going through some troubles. And then Condola was like, oh, what? She didn't know that his firm was having troubles. And so that was kind of like, that was an interesting moment, you know?
Yeah, it kind of let you know that Lawrence and Condola don't talk about everything. You know, there's things that they still are not sharing with each other as they get to know each other in this new relationship. I think, and like Lawrence said at the end of that, he feels like he's gonna land on his feet, and I do too. I think Lawrence gonna come out of this, you know, okay. I don't think he gonna end up like he was before, you know, when he was working with Whoop Whoop. I don't think he gonna end up like that. I think he'll end up somewhere in between. So we head back to Molly's house and you know, this is where Molly's mom sees her boyfriend or her guy, and the mom has like a very tender moment. She kind of is like, you know what?
Molly needed that.
She did. She needed a mother really badly. She needed like some real wisdom and aged wisdom, and not just like friends giving guidance kind of thing. She right. needed to hear, especially from someone who's been hurt, like her father had cheated on her mother, kind of hurt. So I think that was a really good moment.
Yeah. Lovely. Because, yeah, he is, you know, he is crazy and rich, but he's still a nice guy.
That was a good move, by the way.
And I think that she just wanted to, you know, get that reassurance all the way around. Because I think she also thought her mom was going to be like, what? Her mom was like, yes. Right. She was like, go, girl, go. Chase your dreams.
So, that was a good scene.
And even the brother was okay with it. He had, you know, he had jokes. It's just.
Right.
Yeah. So they decide, Issa and her brother Amal decide to eat dinner at a Mexican restaurant. And Amal, for the rest of this episode, gives me everything that I ever hoped that their relationship was.
Agreed.
I thought we have only seen Amal be flighty and petty.
Rude.
And yes. And here he is grounded.
Unsupportive.
And
sorry.
Honest. No, he was unsupportive. Yeah, he definitely. But he, in this, from now until the end of the episode, he is just everything that you want your brother to be, your co-pilot to be. And I really appreciated this whole segment.
Yeah. So, did we hop over the conversation where they joked about marriage and stuff like that? Condola's friends and them?
No, that was in the conversation, but it just wasn't brought up. So we talked about her friend telling all her business, and she said she don't want to get married again, but I don't think we didn't talk about that part of her not wanting to be, her saying she didn't want to be married again.
Gotcha. Yeah. My bad.
No, you did. And then
still broke.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Yeah.
We can
go there because, Condola's, we're talking about, because this is where Lawrence was being an attentive boyfriend. Actually, I messed up. But this where he's being an attentive boyfriend, and he goes and gets up and gets wine, and this is where they talk about keeping it casual. Yeah, my bad.
All good.
So yeah, I think. What was your thoughts on that, Tiff?
If your friend is that drunk, you shouldn't let them have a conversation with your new boyfriend or whatever type of friend that
How
is.
How can she control that?
I mean, I don't know. But her friend was just wilding hard. And it's like
she's always like, let's do something else. Let's play a game or something. But when somebody tipsy like that, you gotta like literally remove them from the situation.
You gotta hide your keys. You gotta hide your keys. You know.
She was a mess. I was like, girl, no. It's like, go eat some more turkey. Soak that up. Something.
Soak it up. Soak it up. Eat a biscuit. Yeah. But I definitely, at this point, they're kind of talking about Condola and, you know, relationships. And Condola's like joking about not wanting to get married again. But at the same time, it was joking. It was like in passing. It was like, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. It felt very joking but serious. It was like, oh, y'all laughing, joking. Her friends are also weird, so their jokes and their sense of humor is way different.
I didn't understand it either. I was like,
I think they're just like that upper class. They carry themselves because, you know, Lawrence is normally around like Chad. You know, they were down to earth. You know, so it's like they not like that. It ain't nothing wrong with it, but if you're not used to it, you're going to be like, okay, how do I, where do I fit in here? What do I say? So.
And that's curious because I'm sure people think that about any group when you first come in, like, oh, these people act a certain way. But then when you get to know them, you know, you got that one friend that be drunk. She be drunk, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I was wondering, out of the parties that we saw today, which party would you want to go to?
Who I had a party? Besides,
you can pick any. You can pick Kelly's. You can pick Issa's. You could pick Molly's, Derek and Tiffany's.
I probably want to go to Kelly's.
Where they was arm wrestling and drinking in it?
Yeah. Because you see, Issa's tenant and her son was invited to Kelly's.
Who was that?
The girl who was talking about the after party is going to be in my apartment.
Wait, that's who that was?
Yes.
Kelly's messy. Kelly is officially the messiest.
God, I forgot. I saw the people at the door, and I didn't put it together.
I'm done right now.
Yes. She did not invite the girl from the building.
Yes.
Because remember when she was talking about the after party, Kelly was like, I'm down. Like, well.
That would have been a good after party.
Yes.
I mean, if I could go to any of these parties, if Lawrence and his guy friends were having a kickback, I would want to go to that.
Okay, but we're going to see Turkey. Okay.
Why?
I mean, I just think that they're more chill, and I think that they just want to laugh and be loud, and I think they were doing the same thing at Kelly's. You could do the same thing at Kelly's. I mean, Molly's was cool, too. It was just some family fun and chilling with family, and you know how our family is. You know, we don't mind being around each other like that, so I don't mind being around family. I don't mind being around friends because, you know, being out here in L.A., sometimes you got to spend Thanksgiving with somebody else's family or crew, you know? Yeah. But
I think, Aaronette, you might have it right. I didn't see. But I also love a board game. Y'all know I live for a little Taboo.
Yeah.
So I might have wanted to go to Molly's house. And they had that pie looked real good. That crust was just, it was just right. Oh. It looked crunchy and delicious. Like when Aaronette was just sucking down them icies. It looked delicious.
How many came in a bag? Because you ate at least a quarter of a bag.
There's one left for you in the refrigerator when you get home, boo. Because like, she destroyed the icy.
What's Jarvis number? Aaron had at home eating all the icy.
Y'all gonna have to re up tomorrow.
I can't. I hate y'all so much.
It looks good. I want a popsicle so bad right now. It looks so literally, good.
Literally, I started chugging my water. I was like,
also, y'all should get popsicles that save a lot on the corner.
Right.
So I said I'll go to Molly's party. Tiff, you said Lawrence's party, even though nobody is going there except you. Be careful, Diamond. Be careful, Diamond. Don't, you know, live your life. That's right. So, and Aaronette, you said you're going to go to Kelly's house because they wildin'.
Right.
She brought her bad little son. He was like, I'm looking for rabbits. And they was like, you got rabbits?
There ain't no rabbits down there. I never seen no rabbits in the jungle. Like,
she looking for a rabbit. He's like, I want to look for a rabbit. I was like, I hope the little boy find a rabbit, you know?
No, kill it, little Dahmer.
y'all, I ain't looked down at my notes in a minute. I don't even know where we at. What's going on?
We left off where you're talking about Amal and Issa at the restaurant.
Being a good brother. Good brother.
And then here it is right here.
The sound of four. I like that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This where she says, she texts her, Molly texts her back, do you, girl.
Do you.
What does do you, girl mean?
But no.
I thought text messages can, like, you can take it, you read a text message how you feel it. If she was feeling a certain way, she would have most definitely took that text message, you know, a certain way. So where Molly probably was like, just, you know, do you. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? She probably didn't mean nothing by it, but we saw her when she texted, so Molly probably was like, whatever.
Do you, girl.
And especially if you're not really communicating with somebody already and y'all start texting, that's not the, don't do that. Call a woman, just, hey, I'm just checking in. What's going on? It's like, because texting is as easy as it makes it for us, it also complicates conversations that could be had in 2 minutes over like 3 hours, you know?
Right. But
do you, girl?
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, this is also where Issa, they have that real conversation and she like confesses her feelings about seeing Lawrence and Condola.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that conversation was so good because it's like, I really feel like she finally said what I think everybody else who's watching this was thinking.
Okay.
Or may have already said, because she was like, I feel like she's reaping the benefits of the time that I put in. Something to that effect.
Yes.
That's what she said.
So, like, she's getting the Lawrence that I should have right now.
Ooh, the Lawrence is
on these years, and she's getting, and I was like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, she's like, you got the, I put in all this time, I put in all these hours, and then you come in and you pull the slot machine and you hit the jackpot.
Yep.
Oof. Yeah. But I mean, I think about our future guys, you know, and it's like, and I think, what guy are we going to get that is probably somebody's Build-A-Bear project that they were building him up and then they weren't together anymore? And then we're going to be the Condolas in somebody's life, you know, where we're going
to
scoop
up. I'm hoping to be the Issa in my own life and get my old ex back. Okay. I'm trying to get my old ex back. Where you at, Jason, baby?
No.
Where you at?
No.
I miss you, baby. I miss you.
But that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. It's like, we are not here to be dating no potential.
Mm.
So, it's like, understand. Like, just because he has potential don't mean he's going to live up to that potential. Like, she was with him for how long? And it wasn't until they broke up until he started getting, to whatever, the, you know, she cheated and he was like, okay, I got to do something. So it was something drastic had to happen in their relationship for him to really want to better himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta know what you want to deal with within like that first year to 2 years of being with somebody. You can't continue to be with them and you know they ain't doing right. She said they were together for 5 years and two of those years he was on her couch.
Mm-hmm.
So two out of those five, he, you know, so the first 3 years were good. You know, he had a good job, mm-hmm. doing good. So it's like, I'm gonna stick with him, but then.
Yeah. Like you're like, where is this going? And I think about how Lawrence clearly now is in a better place because right. I think his mental health seemed better. His energy seemed better. You know, they even back then they showed him like exercising and getting himself together. And Issa was saying it looked like he brought Condola to that restaurant and he was going to pay. You know, yeah. And she was saying it almost like that's something that never happened in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably true. It's probably one of those things where he never was paying for stuff because he always was like, hey, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what ends up happening is now he's in a better place. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with that. I mean, we're almost there. You know, where are we going to be? Because, okay. So her brother at that point kind of was validating her feelings.
Yeah.
And I like that he said, you have the right to feel however you feel.
Yes, I agree.
That was good. That was clutch.
Like and I think people
need to hear that sometimes. Cause you know, often people just need to hear like, yo, feel how you gonna feel about it. Feel how you gonna feel about it. Huh? It's like just make sure you eventually are able to move forward on it, you know?
Right.
It's like don't get stuck in that spot because that's people get a tendency to be stuck there, you know. But he had the good answer.
And I don't. Nailed it. He approached it in a way where it wasn't judgy, like mm-mm. from Molly. Because when she would talk to Molly about it. She would put on the impression that she was fine, but she really wasn't. But she didn't want to tell Molly that. So being able to talk to her brother allowed her to take that guard down and, you know, really show how she felt about the situation.
Yep. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought that he would be the last person that she would confess something like that to.
Yeah.
And then he came, like, it was just time, place, it was right. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't really talked to anybody about her true feelings about it.
Yeah.
Like, I asked her about it in the store, but Issa was trying to save face and be like, oh, no, it's cool. It was all right. There's love all around. And it's like, nah, you're actually kind of feeling some sort of way now that you genuinely saw them. You saw Lawrence matured and you felt some sort of way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like the fact that we got some honesty out of Molly. I mean, out of Issa. And I think that takes us into the next scene where you're seeing Molly, and then it makes sense why Molly wanted Issa to be there. You know, they're picket teams for Taboo, and Molly is like, I'm gonna keep score. And the little boy was like, I wanna keep score. And you're kind of like, why does she want Issa there so bad? And I realized this because she needed a buffer.
Mm.
She needed a buffer between her and her dad. You know, she wanted something that would get her mind off of things and would distract her from dealing with her feelings about what had happened with her dad. And her brother pulls
her out
and confronts her. Yes.
He was being a good sibling. Mm-hmm. He was like, you're making shit weird, and I'm just trying to let you know you're making it weird around here, okay? It's like, nobody else gonna tell you about yourself right now. I will.
Right. He said, because I'm trying to play this taboo.
Like, it's my game. And
let me keep the score. Like, stop it. Like,
mm-hmm. And I think this is about forgiveness. And I think it's about when can you forgive somebody for doing something really horrible to you, or that you perceive as really horrible to you? Like, when do you forgive someone, and how, you know? So I think that Molly is kind of working through those steps and kind of reshaping her relationship with her dad. You know, for so long you think somebody is one way, and then all of a sudden they prove to not be that, and you have to kind of accept it, or you have to, you know, change the way you view them, because that's pretty much the choices you got.
Yeah, I mean, that's highly traumatizing, you know, to be an adult, find out something like that in your parents' past. Like, that would be highly traumatizing.
It's hard.
And it's like, she ain't really talked to nobody about it. Like, she don't talk to nobody about much of anything, actually, you know?
And that's why I'm happy she got that therapist. You know, I'm happy that, and I hope that that's a place that she does go to process through some of this stuff, is her therapist. Speaking of therapists, please visit my website. I'm just kidding.
Right. Next question is sponsored by LifeBridge Therapy Services. LifeBridge.
Reconnecting you to your life. Okay, so we got all these commercials. Sponsor. So Molly's mad, but she kind of worked through it, and she go in there and she sit down with the fam and, you know, play a little Taboo. And I think that's something. And then you see the picture of the mop on the floor, and Lawrence is mopping up the water that shot out of the sink because he really didn't know how to fix the sink. And at this point, he's saying, thank you for inviting me. And then she says, well,
go ahead. Go. Yeah.
Well, you kind of invited yourself.
Boom. Boom.
And then this is where the argument or discussion starts.
Yep. I was like, girl, what? I was like, so you don't want him is what you're telling me right now, because you wouldn't say that to a dude that you wanted to be there, that you would have invited in the first place. So it's like.
But her thing was, she didn't want to pressure him. She didn't want to ask him to come. And then he'd be like, oh, I really don't want to go, but this girl that I like want me to go. But that's her making assumptions. Like, that was her assuming that Lawrence would say, no, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
She was guarded up.
Mm-hmm. Because we've seen Lawrence get asked to go to something with somebody's family, and he didn't show up for her. You know, Tasha asked him to come.
But then he bounced out.
Yep.
He was there for like maybe 5 minutes, and then he was like, oh, I'll be back. I got to go do something, and never came back.
That's right.
Yep.
Dang.
So he's letting you see that he wanted to be there. I mean, we as the audience get to see Lawrence actually wanted to be in this interaction, this relationship with Condola. He's making the effort to be out with Condola, you know.
And that's a big deal, though, to meet somebody you date, to meet their friends, meet their, you know, family or whatever. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, unless you're Norwegian. So.
Wait. Oh my gosh.
These
are we segueing into this? Because these people are going to be like, what kind of comment was that? 10 minutes
of dead air.
Oh my gosh.
10 minutes of dead air. Dedicated to Norwegian Bay. That's what I'll call him.
Are we talking about this or no? Because
no, never ever. Never ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I fainted. I blacked out.
But they also went back to the conversation where drunk Nikki, where he was like, well, what is, like, we clearly saw that they had a difference of opinion on where they are in this relationship.
Okay.
I think Lawrence was taking this on kind of more of a serious route. She was hesitant. I mean, she wanted to be in a relationship, but I don't think she knows how serious it got for him and what she thought it was. Because I don't know. I don't think I said that.
No, I think you are saying it right. He was doing above and beyond things from the beginning for Condola. He bought Condola flowers. Remember, he bought Condola flowers. Like,
oh, he did. Okay, yeah.
Even little stuff like that is letting you know that his investment was there. He was very interested in her from early on. And I think that maybe she used to dudes courting her like that, you know? But I don't think a lot of women are used to guys courting them like that. Like, you know, taking you out, you know, having you over, you know, that kind of stuff. I think she was used to that because she was married. Whereas another girl might have noticed that Lawrence was really putting on the full court press. You know, he was really showing up. So he kind of confronted her about, so you said you didn't want a family. And she was kind of like, wait, I never really said that. You know, she was like, I didn't say that. And then she said she was upset about their inside jokes. And then finally it gets to the question of the episode, other than did Bradley Cooper fall off? The second most important question of the episode, which is if Issa hadn't cheated, would they still be together?
Yep.
Whew. No, I was blown away.
Yay. That was a deep conversation they had too.
Because I didn't think about it. I've never said that to myself. If Issa hadn't cheated, would her and Lawrence still be together?
Yeah, Condola was really showing her insecurity right there. Condola was the insecure one on this episode. Heavy. But
I think, you know, seeing their interaction and things of that nature, like, wasn't like her brother was saying, it ain't that long that they've been broke up and he's already in a new relationship. So it's like, I don't see why. And if they still have that connection, I would want to know also, like, do you still have feelings for her? Yep. Because if you do, then I'm not about to invest my time into this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Because it ain't no reason to be involved with someone when they have feelings for another or their ex.
Mm-hmm.
Who you working with,
yep,
who you know still have contact with each other.
So it's about to get double Dutch weird. And Condola in the wind down was talking about her character and kind of saying something that is evident here. It feels like Lawrence was ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing all the things that are next step in relationship things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once he got that missing piece, which was the job for him, he was doing next step things with Condola, who we've all said kind of has a little bit of an Issa vibe. You know, she kind of has a similar energy. And I think that was he trying to replace Issa?
You know what, now that you say that, I can completely, Condola is where Issa would like to be.
Boom.
So boom. Where Issa is trying, because Issa is trying to build up to that. So I see it now. So he's dating Issa 2.0.
yep.
Yes. Condola is Issa 2.0, minus her not having any humor. Issa will always be that, you know, that ready to joke, ready to laugh. Condola isn't there. She's kind of more grounded, more real life.
But that's what happens when you make clones. The second clone never has all the realistic features of the first. So the clone will never be you, you know. And right. That's what I tell all my exes. The clone of me will never be me. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Lizzo, you will never be me. You are the clone of me. Okay.
That's a fact. That's a fact, though. Absolutely. My last Oh, no, it's not my last thing, because we still have yet to go to the
very end. The very end. Very, very end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trickle, trickle.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm listening.
No, go ahead, Tiff.
Oh, where we get to the text messaging.
Are we there? Because, I mean, we're in the car. Issa and her brother are finishing up their conversation. They hug it out and they say, I hate you. I hate you too. And he gets out the car, and then we go to Lawrence's house, and he's flipping through his IG live. He's flipping through the live stream, you know, and you see all the couples and you see the parties kind of winding down. And then he goes across and he sees gobbledygook. And then he sees Issa at the restaurant with her brother, and he saw all the other pictures and he didn't say nothing.
But he decided to
come on,
leave a little smiley face or funny face on Issa's, and then we see ...
come on.
So
yeah,
and I want to kind of refer back to what Lynette was saying the last one where, and when I saw that, I immediately thought of her, because she was like, she don't want them to get back together. But I think that this is like, this is going to segue into them possibly rekindling that relationship.
So I think it's like when you tell somebody something and you say, I don't want that to happen, because in your heart, you know that ain't ever gonna happen. But then when it do happen, you be real excited. That was me. That was me. Because I've been like, y'all, I don't even care if they get back together. I don't need Lawrence and Issa together. That ain't gonna make the show good for me or nothing. But all of a sudden, when he sent that laughing, crying emoji, I was Issa. And I said, I have gotten that emoji face from a dude. And it changed my life. And I said, dot, dot, dot. And next thing you know, you back in it. So I had a whole moment when I saw those, when I saw him send that emoji to her. That was one emoji. He ain't even sent two. If he had sent two, I don't even know what would have happened.
But the thing of this, I think it just leads you on to the fact that this conversation, like, it led to a conversation.
Woo.
Where
you don't think it led to Happy Thanksgiving?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think
we're gonna find out.
It's gonna be interesting. I hope that the teaser, which is what plays before the title card comes up and it tells us Insecure, I hope that the teaser gives us what that was. Like, we see Issa go in the house, sitting there, and then the little smiley face comes up. Then she's like, she goes to respond, and she's like, wait a minute, why am I responding to him? Because I think she wants to be the good ex-girlfriend and not step in the way, because she likes Condola. And it's like, and I think she wants to be the good ex-girlfriend. But at the same time, I think that she is also like, well, she got what I was working on. So, but I don't know if Issa has it in her.
Oh, Issa got it in her.
Because I don't know.
Okay, so after Condola's and Lawrence's conversation, are they on good terms?
It didn't feel like it.
That's what I'm saying. So for him to actually say something to her, no, you know what I'm saying? I think he's kind of like already made that choice with Condola, because why would you talk back to your ex? He already did talk to her as far as like, hey, I want Condola to know me for who I am now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, he most definitely didn't have to, just like he scrolled across all of them other ones, he could have scrolled across this too.
He scrolled across chats.
He's opening the door.
He opened the door.
Hold on real quick. I like how I like how Chad dropped his phone when he was trying to show his girl.
That's
stepped out his hand. Nat was like, I want to see what she looked like.
That's whether or not, you know what? It's like Niles' wife and Maris from a Frasier.
Oh, yes.
We're never going to see Chad's girlfriend. We're never going to see Chad's girlfriend.
I love it. And Leah.
I hope the last episode when we see Chad's girlfriend, I hope Lizzo walks out. Is everybody ready for it? Okay.
Oh, I do need her to be plus size and fabulous.
Hold on. Who is, do y'all watch Love and Hip Hop? Love and Hip Hop LA? Did you see, what's her name? Makisha Fetty Wap's baby mama?
Where was she at?
She was in Molly's house.
Oh, she was one of the girlfriends on the couch.
A little boy.
She was on the couch.
I cannot think of her name. I'm
she got her role. She got her role. Yep. She was like, hi. She was like, hey. On the couch. This season has some good cameos. They got some good cameos. Yeah.
Listen, they're trying to get them views.
I hope Ray J make a comeback and Portia.
I can't.
But honestly, I think that one, we will never see Maris / Chad's girlfriend. We will never see her. Okay. But I want to. I want to so bad.
Yes.
Yeah. But I also think that this episode definitely had some, it ended on a high. It ended on a high for me because I was screaming at the TV as I saw those dot, dot, dots.
Yeah. I kind of was there too, because I was like, I wasn't screaming, but I was like, ooh, because I was like, okay, this is it's getting good. It's getting good. So.
And Insecure, the show as a total really needs to raise the stakes, though. They are going to have to do some really bold moves, because just looking at how many viewers they have watching the episodes and stuff, their viewer count wasn't like that great this season so far. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so they really gotta like do some stuff, because they need to get people watching these views. I would love a season 5. We need people to like show us. I think Lawrence is testing the water, like Issa. It's like, you gonna like, I don't know, like Ernest said, do she like Ernest think Issa got it in her
to do what,
to cross that line?
To hook up with Lawrence if he dating Condola?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't. I think him and Condola might be done, and I think that's what I think,
because I don't honestly believe that if Lawrence was still trying to make it work with Condola, he would have even said anything to her. I don't think he would have opened that door to have that. You know, granted, it's just on IG Live, but hell, that's how a whole bunch of stuff gets started. It's sliding in them DMs.
Yeah.
So quick.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I will say, this episode, I love the Lawrence Condola storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it was full of conflict, full of insecurities. I loved it. I loved Issa and her bros kind of getting back together, because we know all shows, like Thanksgiving episode, is where you sit down at the table and you come out or something, you know, like the episodes on shows are messy. And I love the Issa and her brother storyline. I could have done without the Molly and her mother's, the whole her Thanksgiving. They could have shown me Derek and Tiffany's. They could have showed me somebody else. It's like,
I don't think Derek and Tiffany was doing nothing, because it was just them two. I like the whole fact. I like Molly's, because she actually went, she still got beef. I didn't even know until now she still had beef with her dad.
Right.
So I think that was good for her to, you see that Molly is growing in her own way, and you see Issa trying to grow in hers. They may not be sharing it with each other, but they're both growing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they show what was necessary for the characters, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think that Molly will always be a main. Like, Molly is a main. I don't want to see I don't want to see Kelly. I don't want to see Tiffany and Derek,
because Molly is a main. I need to know what Molly is doing, you know? Mm-hmm. But overall, I think that this episode, they knew what they were doing from start to finish.
Yeah.
It felt masculine. And I know that the energy was very much about Lawrence from start to finish. And I really think the music, even the music was masculine. Like every song was dude heavy. You know, I ain't hear SZA one time. I ain't hear Summer Walker. You know, they didn't give you any of that. They gave you heavy masculine energy throughout this whole episode. So I think the next episode probably will be it'll probably be Issa's turn, you know, Issa's turn, because I think they taking turns. And what's your prediction for next week? What's going on? What you think coming?
Episode 4, low-key losing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
Mm. Directed by one of my other favorite directors, Nijla Newman.
Mm. I think low-key losing it, they're gonna be losing that friendship.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's coming, and I can't believe how fast it's happening. And oh, and that was how this episode ended, was Issa texting Molly, "Hey girl, I'm not gonna make it.
Can we talk another time?
Can we talk another time?"
We go right back to having that conversation, holding off on having that conversation that you most definitely should have had up front. So with mm-hmm. them waiting to have this conversation, mm-hmm. it's gonna be a blow up.
Yep. And Molly texts her back. Yep, that's fine. You know, yeah. You know, she even put a comma in there to let her know that she was taking a breath. Yep, that's fine. You know, so it's like you look at the words, and I know we say you can't text how you really mean it, but I knew what she was saying.
Yeah, I
she was like, yep, that's fine. You know.
Yeah.
Ooh. So. Yeah. Tiff, any predictions for you?
Low-key losing it? Yeah, I think that this is where Condola and Lawrence are going to start unraveling. And I think that Condola is going to be one of the ones trying to still hold on to it. Mm-hmm. But not knowing that Lawrence is kind of already thinking of other things or opportunities. Yeah, I could see the girls getting back together and having a conversation and noticing the awkwardness and the friendships kind of falling apart.
Yeah,
I could see all that.
Absolutely.
But the thing that would be building and growing would be Molly and Samurai Bay.
Mm. Samurai Bay.
That samurai dick! All right. So I guess we will catch y'all next week. Thank you for joining us. Thank y'all for doing the podcast.
Show enough.
Absolutely.